Last Sunday, I began a message on Generation L, Lost Generation. How God, in His sovereign plan, He desires to always bring back His people into His bosom and into His care. And through King Solomon, this is what God told him. If my people, if people who are called by my name are drifting away, are just going away from God, and if that happens, this is a way that we can be restored. If my people who are called by my name, they are us, Christians, will humble themselves. It begins with the heart of humility. And then today I want to share with you about prayer. Will humble themselves and pray. You see, once humility sets in, we are moved to pray. Prayer is a posture of humility. People who are proud, people who are arrogant, they cannot pray because they don't know how to rely on others other than themselves. Proud heart, they will utter empty words, not a genuine prayer. So today I'll be sharing on the topic of prayer. What is prayer? Why do we need to pray? How do we pray? And what happens when we pray? And how does God respond to our prayers? So here we go. Once upon a time, there was a man who was hunting, and he was hunting for bears. As he marched through the forest and looking for bears, he came upon a large, steep hill. He climbed up a hill, and just as he was pulling himself up over the last outcropping of rocks, a huge bear met him, nose to nose. He got so scared, he fell backwards. So he was just rolling down the hill, and the bear chased him. On the trip down the hill, the man lost his gun. When he finally stopped tumbling, he found that he had a broken leg. There was no way for him to escape. Now, this man wasn't a particularly religious man, but he just began to pray. And this was his prayer. God, if you will make this bear a Christian, I will be a happy camper, and I will do whatever you tell me to do for the rest of my life. The bear was no more than 3 feet away from the man when it stopped dead on its track. And he thought, wow, God must have answered my prayer. And the bear looked up to heavens, and he fell onto his knees and prayed into a loud voice, Lord, bless this food of which I am about to partake. In Jesus' name, amen. And he ate the man. Now, this seems to paint the picture of a lot of people. They reserve prayer as a last resort. Until they're up a creek without a paddle, they use prayer as a 911 emergency call to Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says that we are to be joyful always and pray continually, without ceasing, without stopping. True prayer is not an emergency line, but it is a way of life. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is a time that we expose our soul, our mind to God. In humility, God allows us to see ourselves as we are. Through this COVID-19, we are realizing some important fact that we had forgotten. We thought human beings were invincible, but we realize that we are so weak. We are so fragile that we need help. As sinners in need of God's grace and mercy, we have no other choice but to pray. So we expose our weakness. We expose our humility unto God as children in need of, who are in need of prayers, in need of Father. That's what prayer is, that we are admitting to God that without God, we cannot go on a day. Secondly, prayer is taking God, talking to God, and telling Him how much we need Him and how much we love Him. Conversation is an important part of our lives. And if you have someone you have a relationship with, whether they may be husband and wife, parents, children, siblings, whatever relationship we may have, we need to really have a good conversation, good communication. And that's what prayer is. We communicate to God how much we need Him, how much we care for Him, how much we love Him. Sometimes we get into this feeling of, well, this is kind of too small to bother God. This doesn't deserve a prayer. Well, God doesn't have time to listen to this kind of stuff. Well, let me tell you, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. We don't leave anything out because they're small and they seem insignificant. God wants to hear everything. In marital relationship, communication is important. When we are communicating through, you know, putting a lot of energy, sometimes that can turn into a fight. A couple who is still fighting, there's a chance of recovery. But the couple who has stopped communicating, talking to each other, they're in major trouble. Likewise, in our relationship with God, we need to be in conversation with God. And God wants to know every little detail of our lives. Well, he knows, yet he wants to hear. I remember my wife asked me a question when I was younger, as I come home, and she asked me, how was your day? And my answer was one simple answer, fine. Well, she wanted to know more what that fine was. Why was it fine? Who did you meet? What did you talk about? She wanted to be part of my life. Likewise, God wants to be part of our lives. He wants to hear how we felt, how we're doing, and what kind of people we're meeting, and what kind of life we're leading. God's desire is to know each one of us through our prayer. That's what prayer is. We communicate, letting our lives transparently to be known to God. Then why do we pray? Well, humble people pray. Prayer is utterance of dependence. We are telling God that we need you. We depend on you. It is precisely the feeling of humility that inspires us to pray. It is only when we realize that we are sinners, we need forgiveness from God, then we can pray. It is only when we realize the giver of all things is God, that's when we depend on God and pray for his provision. It is only when we realize that our living and dying depends on God that we can truly turn to God in times of hardship. Prayer is a road to experience the power of God. Someone said this, I really like this quote. When we depend on men, we get what men can do. When we depend on prayer, we get what God can do. You see, when we try to resolve our own lives with our own might and power, that's the result that you're going to get. Whatever you can do, you're going to get. But if we pray, we can get what God can do. Through prayers, people come to God in repentance. And through repentance, people's lives are changed. And people's sickness are healed. And lost people are found. Why do we pray? Prayer will make us grow spiritually. Christians who do not pray has a powerless life. Powerful life, power of our Christian living comes through prayer. It is like having a car without gas. Without gas, no matter how expensive, how luxury car you may own, it goes nowhere. You may look good on the outside as a Christian, but without prayer, we're going to get nowhere. Through prayer, God moves our hearts. He motivates our spirit into another level. Now, the third question is, how do we pray? And that's where today's passage comes in. Jesus was teaching the people who were following him how to pray. All of us know what we need to pray, that prayer moves the heart of God. But where do I begin? How do I pray? Well, here's a background of what Jesus is saying in today's passage. We need to remember that Jesus was talking not only to the people who were kind of obeying and who were following him with a humble heart, but there were people who were religious people, who were hypocrites, who were pretenders, who were fakers. And this is what Jesus is saying. Too many men of prayer in his days were hypocrites. Hypocrites means actors. They went where they could find an audience, and they were kind of praying in the street corners. Jews prayed 3 times a day, 9, noon, and 3 o'clock. And they would kind of work out their schedule so that during those times, they would be found in street corners and crowded areas where people would witness, wow, looking at them pray. They are pious people, religious people. They're really kind of men of God. But Jesus saw how empty their prayers were, and he is addressing to those people as well. And Jesus begins by saying, do not be like hypocrites. He's saying, don't be an actor. Don't be a pretender. The description, definition of hypocrites is this: one who acts a part with a view to deceive others and to get undeserved praise for himself. Jesus is saying the hypocrites, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and street corners to be seen by men. We pray not to be seen by men, but to be heard by God. Our posture is not that important. From early childhood, we learn the posture of prayer, that we need to get hands together, we bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. You see, in Old Testament, people prayed in a prostrate position. That means lying down, face down. Moses, while he was praying, he was lifting his hands up into heaven, looking up to heaven with his eyes open. You see, throughout the history, the posture of prayer changed, but the content and the purpose of prayer hasn't changed. Problem was that they weren't praying to be seen by God, but by men. This is what Jesus says to the hypocrites. They have received their reward in full. They already got recognition from people. They got praises from people. So they got what they wanted to get, and that's it. To them, mission accomplished. This is earth-shattering truth. They have nothing else to receive from God. Their requests and desires are just empty words, no matter how much they cry out to God. Then what is a non-hypocritical prayer? They're sincere prayers. We're tempted to pray a beautiful prayer, a poetic prayer, where people can say, wow, that was an awesome prayer. You see, feel-good prayer is not the prayer that God would be moved. Sincere prayer is an honest prayer, something that comes from our heart without any kind of distraction or disruption. Prayers are not to influence us, but prayers are to move the heart of God. You see, when I talk to my kids, it's not how eloquent they speak to me that my heart will be moved. I hear their words and their desire and their just eagerness. That's what I want to see from them as they communicate to me. You see, God hears no more than the heart speaks. We pray to God and lift his name up, which comes from our hearts. For prayers without the heart, the Lord will never hear, nor will he to those lips attend those prayers that are not sincere. Our prayers must mean something to us if it's going to mean something, anything to God. Sincere prayers are like childlike prayers. Children, when they say what they want, they come from really, they don't pretend. As kids grow, they learn to manipulate. And as we become older Christians, we have a tendency to become manipulators, even when it comes to prayer. What is a manipulation prayer? It's something like this: God, if you give me a better job, I will tithe. Well, let me tell you, if you can tithe right now, little that you're earning, you will not be able to tithe even if you get a better job and make more money. Or prayer such as this: God, if you give me a nicer car, I'm going to give right to my neighbors to go to church. Well, if you can't do it with the junky car, you're not going to do it with the better car. Or God, if you get rid of all my problems, I will devote myself more to church. Well, we need to be devoted no matter what. You see, sincere prayer is this kind of prayer. Good morning, God. I'm going to start the day. I don't know if I can make it on my own, so I need you more than any time, any day. And today is a day I want to walk with you. What are you up to today, God? I want to be part of your plan, not for me to make you part of my plan. Those are sincere prayers. Jesus said to go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father. Here, going into your room, going into the room and closing the door does not mean the location of prayer. Prayer ought to be done anywhere, everywhere. But what Jesus means is door must be shut against the distraction of the world. That we need to focus We need to give undivided attention to God. My wife points out to me time to time when I'm talking to our kids and stuff, I have my iPad in front of me and I'm, you know, I'm doing some things and to me, I have this excuse of, you know, I am multitasking. While I'm talking, I'm doing this. But that sends a message of you're not giving a full attention to the person you're talking to. You see, in prayer, we need to focus on God and we need to just put away all the distractions. We need to really focus and give our full attention to God as we pray. Jesus says, pray to your Father, no one else. Give him full attention. And the Bible even says, be still and know that I am God. Unlike hypocritical prayers, when you have this undivided, intimate moment with God, the Bible says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Will reward you. Not that you have received your reward in full as you're being praised how wonderful prayer you had, you made in public. Jesus is saying when no one is looking at you, when you're in room with door closed and between you and I am going to reward you, not the people who have seen you pray. And then he says, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Well, when you pray, get rid of all these fill-in words. Prayer is a discipline. You need to be intentional about what and how you pray. I remember when I was in English ministry way back when, there was a brother who would do a prayer. And every time he prays a long prayer. But if we were to pray 10 minutes, about two-thirds of it, they were just babbling words. This is what he said, Father God, God Father, thank you. Thank you, God, Father God, Jesus Father, thank you, God Father. Boy, at the end of a prayer, you didn't know what he prayed for, but he spent so much time just doing Father God, Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, and he would just, you know, fill in with those words. Do not babble like that. Make your communication clear. Imagine if my kid came to me and began to say what he wanted, and he said, Dad, thank you, Dad, Mom, Dad, thank you, oh, you know, but thank you, Father, thank you, Dad. No, I don't like that. I want to hear what they want to say from their heart. Romans 8:26 says this, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot express. Even when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will tell us. So you don't have to make up all these fill-in words and make into a babble. The theory that a 15-minute of prayer is good, we have this thinking that half an hour prayer is twice as good. That is unbiblical. God is not interested in how long you pray, but how real your prayer is. Strength in prayer is better than the length of prayer. And lastly, it says that God knows our needs before we ask. Well, common sense tells us this. If God knows all my needs before I ask him, why pray? If he knows, why doesn't he just carry them out? Well, God wants to hear from our lips. Only in humility we can ask. I know what my kids want. And I like to hear what they want. If they don't verbalize it, I will not carry it through. True petition remembers that our God is all-knowing and all-loving Father. It means that we should not turn God's divine will into my own. As we make requests to God, we should really look at things from not my perspective, from God's perspective as well. Because Jesus, in his teaching of the prayer, which now we call the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. That God's will be done. Our business in prayer is not to prescribe, but to subscribe to the wisdom and the will of God. God, what are you up to? Let me be part of your plan. Let me be part of your leading. That should be our prayer. We should be as specific in our requests when in praying and making sure that it's almost like, you know, making in our house, we have this little paper that we write down all the list of things that we need next time we go to grocery store. It's like that. We write down what we want to request to God. And we need to really pray specifically. And when we know what prayer is and how we ought to pray and why we need to pray, we need to believe in the power of prayer. That when we pray, that God will move. There's a kind of interesting story that there was a small Kentucky town that had two churches and one whiskey distillery. Members of both churches complained about distillery gave the community a bad image. On top of this, the owner of a distillery was an atheist. They tried to shut down the place but were unsuccessful. At last, they decided to hold a joint Saturday night prayer meeting, and they would ask God to intervene. Saturday night came. As they were holding a prayer gathering, a huge kind of electrical storm came, raged. To the delight of the church members, lightning struck the distillery and it burnt down to the ground. Next morning, the sermon in both churches were the power of prayer. Fire insurance adjusters promptly notified the distillery owner that they would not pay for the damage. Fire was caused by an act of God, they said, and the coverage for the act of God was excluded in the policy. Whereupon the distillery owner sued all the church members, claiming that they conspired with God to destroy this building. The defendant denied absolutely they had done nothing to cause the fire. The judge, after observing both sides, this is what he says: "I find one thing about this case that is very perplexing. We have a situation where the plaintiff, an atheist, is professing his belief in the power of prayer, and the defendant, the church members, are denying the power of prayers." Isn't that interesting? How we pray, and then when God answers, we get surprised. And sometimes we can't even believe that God does answer prayers. Friends, don't pray unless you believe that God will answer. When we pray, we need to pray for people. We need to pray for the leaders. We need to pray for the missionaries. And especially times such as this, we need to pray for this country. We don't know where this country is headed. People are just so concerned and worried, and people are getting angry and protesting. We need to get down on our knees and pray for this land. How does God respond? Well, as we all know, God responds in three ways: yes, no, or wait. When God does not immediately respond to the cries of his children, it's because he wants to accomplish something bigger and better. So we need to realize what God's plan is instead of being impatient after we pray, because God's answers are wiser than our prayers. Some are answered in a way different than what we wish that it would happen. Some are answered by changing us, and some are answered by giving of a greater strength to bear the trials. When I was in college, my prayer was, "God, make me into a great businessman. I would love to have this success in my life and have financial needs to do a lot of wonderful things for your kingdom." Boy, if I was God, I would have answered that prayer. You know, here's Jim Bob wanting to make a lot of money in order to do God's will. But God didn't answer that prayer the way I wanted to. And I'm so glad that he didn't answer that prayer. Because if I had means of finance to make my life comfortable, I wouldn't be relying on God and depending on God in all things that I do. God called me into the full-time ministry. And every day, I just ask myself, "God, thank you. And will you provide me strength for me to really give glory to you? I don't want to just maybe be a successful pastor, but I want to be a pastor to be known as someone who loves God more than anything else and who knows how to love the neighbors. And that is my prayer. And that's every day I pray that prayer. I want us to remember this one word, push. I'm sure you know this word, push, P-U-S-H. Just one African-American priest, you know, he just gave a whole sermon on this four letters, push, P-U-S-H. And it stands for this, pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. You push God until something happens. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful that we have this privilege to pray. That through prayers we can move your heart. Through prayers that we can receive rewards. Through prayer that we can truly let our hearts be known to God. God, may we not squander or waste this privilege. May we, every moment of our day, be given to you through prayer. God, be glorified and honored through all that we do, especially when we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.